Every American who believes in what this country stands for is shaken to the core.
Yeah.
Shaken to the core, and it really does have to stop. And like I said, a collective shift in our consciousness has to happen. That's the solution.
How do you think we keep the conversation going?
We have to keep this up. You know, there's so many elements, so many angles to the story. There's gun control, there's the media, there's crazy people, us listening to crazy thugs and thinking that their doctrine is something that we need to repeat. No, they're just crazy.
Right.
We don't have to even repeat why, how, you know. So there's so many different angles to the story. It's not just one thing. I do know that, you know, love, and I believe in love, is the first step, the first.
Oh, well, bravo, and a great and timely clip of the week.
You know, I'm just so shaken from last week and this week. It's pretty horrifying what's going on. And I know that this is very political and not funny, but it does involve RuPaul. And it definitely involves RuPaul's message, which from this clip that I love is that it starts with love, right? Like, that is the first step.
I agree. I agree with all of that. I really do think there's an element of what she is saying, he using it interchangeably here, for RuPaul, that about something I've definitely felt, that it's like, we can't look to the source of the problem and hope to find the solution. Like, the solution is something that we're not doing right now. And I think that's really where that shift in consciousness is. It's a difficult time. I think it's totally fine to bring it up. I think it would be remiss as a couple of, homosexuals in 2016 to not be paying attention to what's happening in this world when it comes to civil rights. I think for us, you know, when Orlando happened, it hit so close to home. And I think I can certainly understand, while I might now be a layer removed, it's like, I understand completely what this must feel like for the African American community. And I know that they're different, but they're similar in that it's like, we're all in this place of like, I can't take it anymore. The sentiment I see over and over is, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah. You know, I do think that it hits close to home, because as a gay community, there are people of color in our community, and we have to take care of those that are like us, that we care about and that we protect, right? Our community, people that we feel connected to. And to me, especially after what I did this weekend, which we can talk maybe a little bit about later, but which is why my voice is shot. But we are connected to them, and we have to not stand for it just because it doesn't affect us as white people. Perhaps that doesn't matter. It affects us as white people, absolutely, because of who is in our lives and how we interact with the world. Anyway, I'm going to get off of it. Clip of the week, RuPaul, talking truth and really starting with that place of love, which I've taken on full-heartedly, because that seems to me to be the most difficult thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's when people ask, where do I start? It's a good place to start. I just want to let everyone know, in case they don't know, they're listening to our very second episode of All Right Mary, which of course we do talk about all things Drag Race in the world of Drag Race. And as we described it last week, the paradigm that RuPaul has created with this TV show. And so that's, of course, why RuPaul is our clip of the week, because, you know, it's her show, and wherever she shows up, we talk about it. So,
who's our moment of appreciation for the week?
Right, of course. As our valued listeners must know, every week we like to give a moment of appreciation for a queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. Perhaps she's underappreciated. Perhaps just people don't talk about her enough. Perhaps people just need to be talking about her more. And so this week, you know, we talked about her a little bit last week, but of course, season 7 winner Violet Chachki. We started to get in about her last week. I was thinking about her before we started this episode of what I wanted to say about Violet. And there's all the obvious things you could say. I mean, there's her season 8 finale look, which is probably, if it's not the best look I've ever seen on Drag Race, it's probably in the top 3, and there's probably another Violet look in that top 3.
Like the oxygen mask one.
Or the tartan reveal, you know?
Right. Oh, my God. Of course.
Yeah.
You said the right term.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, well, you know, when she had the plaid thing on.
Oh, yeah, the plaid and black thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the plaid and black thing. That was cute. That was fun. Yeah, what I like about Violet, because I mean, we could go on about her looks. I think that's certainly the things people do appreciate about her. But what we were kind of saying last week about Violet was the things that I think people don't recognize, or it's just worth re-emphasizing about Violet, which is that she was 21 years old when she won. And she, besides the fact that she has this incredible fashion sense and just is clearly just has been a sponge and of everything she's absorbed from the internet, as she claims herself, which is really incredible. Just like the fashion sense that she's gleaned from being so young and really just studying, like she's really developed an incredible aesthetic. But the thing I like about her the most is the moment where I'm like, this is what I always think about when I think about Violet Chachki, was when it got down to the final four. And Ginger and Kennedy were coming at her about, I don't think you are mature enough to handle the responsibilities of the crown. And they're just like going at her. And they both have their big pageant hair and their big pageant egos. And, you know, at this point, Ginger has just gotten ugly. And Pearl's, you know, God knows where, putting on God knows what. But, you know, Violet's just sitting there looking at them, listening to them, and they're just going at her. And then she says, okay, all right, well, I hear what you're saying. Thanks. And then just like goes back to finishing her makeup. And I was like, you better work, bitch.
Right. Yeah. You better work, bitch.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's such a sign of maturity where you're just like, you're going to come for me and I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I'll hate that you're spewing. This isn't, I don't, if I get on the defense, that makes me look, you know, completely immature. And I'm not going to take your bait. I'm not going to, you know, do this drama thing. Right.
Yeah. And particularly the fact that she was so quick to kind of like, you know, quick to fight earlier in the season. Like this wasn't like a quality she came in with. It was one right. that she clearly developed over a short and intense period of time. And I think for the willingness at 21 years old to develop that, I mean, it's, you know, and in that situation where I would imagine it would be easy to let your nastiness and your awfulness really come out under that kind of pressure. She really kind of, you know, like Kenny Davenport, you know, she didn't die, she crystallized. And she returned as a glamazon bitch on the runway, you know?
So what you're saying is you forgive her for saying she hates Michelle Visage.
Oh, of course. I think that if I were in her situation and I was standing up there and for hours, you know, naked, Michelle was reading me for my boy body, I would have been like, oh, fuck you too. Like, I think that she probably should have edited herself a little bit more, but I kind of like that she didn't, you know?
Yeah, she's a kid. And kid. They also, no, it's fine. And again, it means nothing, right? The show means nothing. They're all stars.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. You know, Ginger Minge to Pearl to Violet. I mean, they all had something to offer.
She yeah.
did offer it most consistently and very artistically, which was the theme of, you know, the year, you know, she did well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. We saw right. something new from her. So, so there you go, Violet. We love you. And, you know, keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep it foxy or whatever they say.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
Catchphrase or something. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I wanted to bring back some trivia because Colin, you kind of have an obsession with Drag Race. And I remember when we would hang out, when you lived in New York, we would play on the subway. We, you know, if we were bored, it was a long ride to Astoria or something, we would play trivia and it would be Drag Race trivia. And you know much more than I do. So I would have to just come up with questions and try to stump you. So I thought I'd bring it to the podcast. And you don't know what these questions are. So I'm just gonna go ahead and ask you. There's one challenge, kind of like Final Jeopardy round, which is a very, 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 very hard question. So.
All right. Bring it on.
Ready? Are you ready?
Yes. Bring it. Bring it.
Okay. Listen closely. What three queens before season 8 never had to lip sync, made it to the finale, yet didn't win?
Okay, well, the three queens who never had to lip sync but made it to the finale but never won. Well, let's see. No one from season 1, 2, 3, or even season 4, because even then, yeah, they all had to lip sync. So season 5, Alaska did not have to lip sync. But she did not win, of course. We know that Jinx won. And then in season 6, you know, Bianca didn't have to lip sync, but she did win. So I don't think she counts.
No, she doesn't count.
Three queens who lip synced, who never had to lip sync. Okay. Kimchi, Alaska, and stick with me now. And Violet. No. Violet Trotsky won. And three queens?
Yes, you skipped over a season too quickly. And there's one that you're missing. It's a glaring one. There's one that's like an easy one.
Well, I'm working. Okay,
you got Alaska. You got Alaska.
I got Alaska.
Kimchi is in season 8. So you're missing.
Oh, that's right. You did see. There are a lot of specifics to this. Okay. Oh. Nina Flowers.
Yes.
Nina Flowers never had to lip sync. I keep forgetting that season 1 existed. And then in season 2, no, because Raven and Jujubee both had to lip sync. And then in season 3, of course, we had all of them did have to lip sync at some point. And then in season 4, no, because Chad had to lip sync and Fifi had to lip sync. And then in season 5, Alaska, but Roxy had to lip sync, as we know. And then in season 6, Courtney Act never lip sync. She never did a lip sync, did she?
That's right.
Wow.
You got all three.
Wow. It should have happened faster. Sorry, everybody. Yes. But yes. There you go.
Yes. So, all right, next question. What was the lip sync song between Nina and BB in the final elimination round of season 1?
Oh, well, it would have to be, I remember all the moves. It's like the song. I can't think of what it's called. Is it called Glamazon? No.
Colin, think of the first season. What song would it be?
Supermodel. Put that bass in your walk, of course.
Cover girl,
whatever.
Yes, cover you girl. Got it. Okay, sort of.
I had the song. I had it in my head.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yes. So the last is the Jeopardy round. Okay. This is hard.
I didn't
Who really. Was the first queen on the show to lip sync 3 times in a row?
The first queen on the show to lip sync 3 times in a row. The first queen on the show to lip sync 3 times in a row. Well, let's see. I think the answer would have to be Akasha.
Yes, wow! How did you know that?
Well, I was like, was she up against Victoria Porkchop Parker? Yes, she was. Yes, because I remember, because then the second one, and Victoria just tumbled home, but then the second one was against Tammy Brown, and that was, of course, the Break the Dawn one that, like, RuPaul, like, got her life for that lip sync, and Akasha did do really well, but then someone sent her home, like Rebecca or something. Yeah, Akasha, the first queen.
Good for you. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, go figure. The double Jeopardy I got faster than the other ones, which were just like glaringly obvious.
So I picked these questions because I wanted it to set up our feature for today, which is 3 truly terrible lip syncs and 3 truly terrific lip syncs. And I just wanted to do some lip sync trivia for you. But before we get to our lip syncs, I thought we would add a new segment to our list of things to do on this show. And it's called
What You Making At, Gigi?
And it's basically me asking you what Blue Apron brought you for the week, because I know that you have a subscription to Blue Apron.
I do.
And it's kind of an advertisement for Blue Apron because, you know, I don't have it. And you do, and you kind of like it a lot. What are you gonna make today? What you making?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked. I actually just made a delicious Blue Apron meal before I got onto this podcast. I hopped on the call. I made these delicious empanadas with a cucumber and tomato salad. It was super simple, super easy. I never would have made empanadas on my own, and the recipe couldn't have been easier. It was so good. They turned out so well. It came with like a lime, you know, crema. You know what I mean? You have to make a little, and you make it all, and it's so easy. I love Blue Apron. It's $10 a meal. You get two portions, if not more, per meal. It's such a good deal.
All right. They're not paying us. Anyway, I don't do it. I just feel like I'm never home at night. So I know that what would happen is, you know, the Blue Apron ingredients would come and then they'd sit in my fridge and then they'd go bad before I could even make anything. So I'm very curious because I do like the idea of like, you know, handpicked ingredients. And I think that's very exciting. But, you know, yeah. You know, it's going to be good, fresh stuff. But yeah, and I love to cook, but I don't know. I just market across the street and just, you know, make what I make. But you're right. Anyway.
It's a reason to make a life change and to try cooking more. It's inspired me to cook a lot more. So,
well, if I was home during the week, maybe I would do it. Okay, Blue Apron, so leave me alone. Maybe if you sent some breakfast food once in a while, then I would be happy.
Well, if you're listening, Blue Apron, I guess you've got your marching orders.
All right, Mary. All right.
So, next segment, are three truly terrible lip syncs or three truly terrific lip syncs?
Well, do you want to do one each? So I'll do one terrible and you'll do one terrific and I'll do one terrible, one terrific. Do you want to just do run through each?
Let's run through each. Let's take turns. Yeah. Let's run through each. You go first and then I'll go.
All right.
I'll go and then you go, whichever you want.
Well, you know what? We should end on a high and talk about great lip syncs. So let's start with these terrible ones. And now I want to qualify that I wanted to think there's some obvious terrible lip syncs that I think would make this list very boring. There's the Honey Mahogany and Vivian Panay. Oh. You know, that one, yeah, obviously it's not very good. There's the, you know, the Dax and Layla one, obviously, yeah. The double eliminations are obvious ones. So I tried to think of ones that I don't hear people talking about all the time and that I do think are just not good lip syncs for one reason or the other. And, you know, trying to find a little bit of some deep cuts as well. Keep this interesting. So in no uncertain order, whatever that means, this goes in order of seasons because this first one is from season 3. Okay. And it is the first lip sync of the season, which is between Shangela and Venus Delight. Oh, and it is to Vanessa Williams, The Right Stuff. And it is from the Queen's Who Mopped Christmas episode. So Shangela's got her like snow globe body on
She's got some cookies for Santa. Huh?
Yes. Vanessa Williams is there with her cookies for Santa and Bruce Valanche is there.
It's gifts for Santa, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned. And Bruce Valanche is there dressed as Santa. And of course, you have met Bruce Valanche. You've worked with Bruce Valanche.
I have.
With the chorus. So you guys are buddy-buddy.
Yeah, we're kind of buddy-buddy. Not really at all. But he was in the movie Mahogany. I'll never forget that.
Well, he tells that story everywhere he goes. Yeah, so it's like, we get it, Bruce. All your scenes were cut. We get it. You didn't know how to sew. It's called acting, Bruce.
Oh, Bruce. We love Bruce Valanche.
Yeah, he's great. But anyway, the real focus here and the reason I bring up this lip sync is not because of Shangela, because the lip sync itself is like someone described it as Mortal Kombat. Like it is just they tear their outfits apart. It's ridiculous. It's so unprofessional. Venus Delight makes such a fool of herself. She throws her hair at one point. It's so stupid. And I felt like it was her just like ridiculous behavior. Why would anyone keep you? Why would anybody want you to be the America's Next Drag Superstar when you're such a super cunt, you know, like in a lip sync? I just, not impressive. What are you going to edit that? Is that a bad word?
No, it's not a bad word in the UK, you know, other places in the world. Hopefully there's some global listeners out
there. Oh, for the love of God. Charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, Mary. That's so, right.
All right, Mary.
All right, Mary. So, I think that is my, I think it's just a truly terrible showing and she made a fool of herself and, you know, I'm so glad that Shangela won and she turned it out that season. So my second choice, do you have any thoughts about that lip sync you want to add before I go into my second choice?
No, just that episode was great because of Vanessa Williams and that bustier thing she was wearing. She just looked fabulous. But no, there was somebody that dodged a bullet in that episode, right? The one who wore the like Mother Mary look.
Oh, Mimi, I'm first. Yes, oh, she had such right. a meltdown.
She dodged a bullet. She dodged a bullet.
She did.
Anyway, she later lifted somebody, but yeah.
Right? Yeah, she? Yeah. Yeah. She did. She picked India Farah up. Yeah. That's right. So.
All right, keep going. So anyway, yes, those are my thoughts. So thank you.
So those are my thoughts. My second truly terrible lip sync, and this is a truly terrible choice all around. Everybody was a poor shower. Was the season 4 lip sync between Willem and Jiggly.
Oh, what was that song?
It's to this, they had, one of the guest judges was Pam Tillis, who I guess is a country music singer. I don't really know her. I had never heard of her before Drag Race. Oh. But it was her song, My Crazy Life. And it was such like, it was so obviously like not a lip sync kind of song. But it was like, well, Pam Tillis is here and we probably have to do her song, you know? Yeah. I really felt like, why is Pam Tillis here? I don't get it. Am I missing something?
I feel like I can hear RuPaul saying, Pam Tillis. Oh, Pam Tillis. Oh, but yeah. We should get Pam Tillis on here. You know, I feel like, you know, it's just somebody that RuPaul happened to like or likes or knows.
I guess. I mean, Leanne Rimes was on there once, so I guess I can't, you know, I can't be too picky here. So anyway, I have this lip sync has always bothered me because the two of them, I mean, obviously Willem won that lip sync. And she does a fine job. It's not that Willem necessarily does a terrible job, but she, and I feel like I've seen her talk about this or read her, you know, talking about this somewhere. There's this one point where she like mimes like flipping a coin and then like, you know, heads or tails. Like dude, she does this, she pantomimes this little moment and it is so corny. It's so cheesy. And I mean, she's not necessarily bad in the lip sync otherwise. Just that moment always gets me right in the back teeth. And then I think the thing that always sticks with me is, you know, Jiggly Caliente, she's wearing this big yellow, you know, prom dress. And she, I mean, you know, she's dancing as fast as she can. She's Pam Tillising as fast as she can. So, you know, she's so out of her element. She's exhausted. You can tell the look on her face. There's this one moment where there's like a music break. And she's just doing this like exhausted salsa dancing. You can just tell that she's just like waiting for it to be over. And like, it's heartbreaking. It's just like, oh, Jiggly, you were ready to go home. I can tell. So I don't know. I just find that lip sync to be such an oddball in the canon, so to speak. Mm. And I will always think about Jiggly and those exhausted salsa moves or whatever dancing that she was doing, you know. Anyway.
Poor Jig.
Poor Jigs. I'm sure she's over it. So my final of the three terrible lip syncs, and this is because of only one of them, is from season 7. When I say one of them, I mean only one of the lip syncers. This was not a poor showing about across the board. The final choice is the season 7 lip sync between Katya and Sasha Bell.
Oh.
Which was to Twist of Fate by Olivia Newton-John. Katya, of course, does a great job. She does that slow split and and she's wearing that one of my favorite outfits. I love that with the floral with the it's like a little, you know, two piece with matching leggings and it's all blue with like floral. Oh, it's okay. Beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. It looks so good on her. She looks great. It's such a shame she had to lip sync in it. But so she's great. But man, Sasha Bell, I mean, she's wearing that, you know, Ross dress for less dress. And she's got that terrible, like all those wigs, those unkempt wigs. And she's just looking lost up there. And she's trying all these different things out. And none of them are working. Like there's all these like efforts at lip syncing. And I'm like, it's like watching children dance at a preschool. It's like, you know, if they just have kind of like a, hey kids, we're going to put on some music and you guys can just dance around the playroom. That's kind of what I saw Sasha Bell doing. And by the end of it, she like, her boob falls out. I mean, it's pathetic. And I just felt like, you know, you really shit the bed, because like from the moment she showed up, like she didn't do anything well. And I think she's a good queen. I've seen her do some really good stuff, but in terms of what she did on the show, man, mix a bad edit and bad
content. Black bra. There was that for the nude challenge in the black bra, right? Like that is, oh, please, please.
Unforgivable.
It was a terrible, I mean, not to mention that was a terrible challenge. Those nude suits. Oh. It was totally product placement. I'm just going to call logo out there. That's product placement. They were selling those suits. There wasn't anything fun about that challenge.
But then they had to like blur out all the like, you know, private parts on the bodysuits.
Yeah, it looked silly to watch. I just,
yeah.
I'm not seeing anything but like, you know, how brave they are. And they're already brave, so come on. It was a total ploy to get some drag queens to buy some new nude suits. I'm not buying it. Okay, logo.
Me neither. I'm not convinced. Not no ma'am, no Pam.
Andrew Christian jock straps. You know, like sure, I get the product placement there. You know, it's on the pit crew, but then to bring the consumerism into the challenge? Come on.
Yeah, I know. Well, I what are you going to do? I feel like there are those moments where it's like, oh, come on, Ro. Always a product placement? Come on. But whatever. I don't know how much she was involved or whatever, but I agree. But anyway, Sasha Bell being a part of that problem, she really went out with a you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So, and I realized as I was looking for terrible lip syncs, I was like, oh man, there are so many I could talk about. But I will save that. Maybe we'll, you know, revisit this. Like, hey, here's another episode of terrible lip, you know, three terrible lip syncs. Because there are little moments like that Jiggly Caliente dancing that I just need to talk about. Like, I just need to get it off my chest. And I just want people to know and to connect with, yeah, oh, that was a weird moment. Because this is totally a topic for another episode, but I'd love to talk about sometime like the cringiest moments on Drag Race, because I mean, there's one that I'm thinking about already, and I know I'm derailing, but we have to talk about it.
Is it Haunted House?
I mean, that one's terrible, but this one... this one's even worse, because that one is like supposed to be bad. This one was like... bad, and it was like a poor. It was so in episode one of season five, there's that awful bit where they're all going on the big bus. Remember that? They're taking the bus, and there's the montage, and they're waving at the celebrities who are clearly terrible. In front of green screens. And then they cut to a talking head of Coco going, you know, something about like, oh my god, we're in Hollywood, and celebrities are waving back at me, and I'm getting my life. And it's like, Coco. It's not real. We know it's not real. You're not making it convincing. You're making a fool of yourself. It was so painful. And there are those moments. There are a lot of things Chad Michaels does that makes me cringe. But anyway, we should totally talk about some other time, the cringiest moments of Drag Race, because as much as I love this show, there are like certain episodes I won't even watch because I'm like, ugh, no, this is too uncomfortable. I can't watch that moment.
Oof. All right. Well, maybe another episode for sure. Some cringeworthy moments. Sometimes it's cringeworthy, like hearing something that Michelle Visage says, you know, or something right. Along the runway that's said. Like, there's a lot of cringeworthy moments around La Ganja.
Yes.
I just, You know, like, I just can't even. When she's, when she talks to the camera in the confessional, and it's, she sounds like she's talking to a teacher.
Yes.
It's just so bad. But I think now we can move on to our three truly terrific lip syncs.
Sure.
You know, I'm glad we're talking about this, because I just wanted to say that there are so many given ones, ones that are talked about and shown on the internet all the time on those, you know, those 15 best RuPaul Drag Race lip syncs, or the 5 best lip syncs of your life. And, you know, the same ones keep coming up, and that's great. But I do want to take some time to appreciate a few that, you know, are not always on the list. And I do want to just acknowledge what I think some of the list is, very briefly. There was Dita Ritz versus The Princess, This Will Be by Natalie Cole. We talked about that last week. We also talked about Latrice and Dita, and Latrice and Kenya Michaels. Latrice and Dita did I've Got to Use My Imagination by Gladys Knight. It was just this fabulous song that Dita apparently, as Latrice would say, like, didn't really feel, didn't really understand like Latrice did. So she was able to sing this song. And then there's You Make Me Feel with Kenya Michaels. And what Latrice did with that song was, you know, so, I mean,
everything.
And then obviously the other given one is I Whip My Hair Back and Forth with the double wig reveal. And then Alyssa, you know, writhing on the floor.
God bless her.
We also talked about last week was What a Man with Trinity K. Bonet and Milk, which I absolutely loved. And then the other one that's always on the list is Alyssa and Coco doing Cold Hearted Snake, where they didn't get eliminated, right? Nobody got eliminated that time.
Oh, no. Alyssa and Coco, I think that was the one where Alyssa went home.
But didn't they also lip sync against each other before that?
No, that was the lip sync, you know, the world was waiting. Oh,
Alyssa and Roxy. Okay, Alyssa and Roxy, no one went home.
Yeah.
Alyssa went home for Cold Hearted Snake, which, you know, which is crazy, but Coco killed it. So no están aquí, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean, Mary?
You know, and I was making this list and I found so many. I just wanted to start with some honorable mentions before I give you the three that I just wanted to appreciate. So the three that are my honorable mentions, actually there's four, is Black Velvet with Jujubee and Sahara Davenport. Those are always, it is always mentioned, right? It is a great lip sync. Jujubee just kills it, and you're totally feeling it.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one.
It's an amazing gif of her reaching out in front of her and living her life. The other one is from season one, between Chanel and Akasha. And it's when Chanel's wig falls off during Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. And it was like one of the first, like, oh my God, she went on even though her wig fell off. It was a big moment. But again, honorable mention, because that's all that happened.
Well, and if I could just add a bit of trivia to that moment, it was a self-produced moment. Chanel, she wanted to, you know, show her vulnerability and show that she could persevere. So she knew what she was doing. She's right. Admitted to this. Not to pee on any parades. It's just like the magic of television. I mean, as a TV show and as a moment on a show, it was great. But right. That's the behind the scenes. That's all.
Right. So the other one that is an honorable mention that I actually wanted to include, but I'm not because it is expected, is the one lip sync to the Ima Sumac song, Malambo number one, between Jinx and Detox. I mean, it's when, for me, lip sync challenges, like when that lip sync for your life was raised to a completely different level.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's good to lip sync, you know, to really show what you can do. It, like, yeah. Jinx kind of had the game in the bag at that point, but the lip sync really solidified it because she just was fantastic. It took me home. And Detox was no slouch, but Jinx took.
She had the mouth thing going on, yeah. But, yeah. You know, with whenever that wow went up, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
She had the right outfit for it. You know, it totally worked.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I didn't know who that artist was when I first heard it. And so I looked it up, and it's Ima Sumac. It's a Peruvian, I believe. And
it's
Y-M-A, Ima, and then Sumac, S-U-M-A-C, if anybody wants to download one of her albums, because it is great. The album is great, or the album that I downloaded. So I definitely recommend it. It's something to, you know, paint your walls to, or, you know, clean your rug to, or just hang out to, you know, something that's going to make you dance. It's really fun. All right. So those are my honorable mentions. I wanted to include those and just make sure those were said. So the first one is the most recent. And obviously the one from season 8 that I will always remember is Chichi Devane and Thorgy Thor doing And I Am Telling You. From Dreamgirls, and yes. It's one with the epic moment where Chi-Chi's pearls, like all of her jewels, just fell off, shattered. Yeah. Like a Showgirls moment. Showgirls reference. Sorry again. But yes, they just fell off, and she was living, and it was one of those times where you were like, okay, this song was picked for you, Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
You better bring it.
I mean, I remember, like, because what it was, I think she stood on the string of beads and pearls or whatever, and it started to break. And then she, like, did this thing where she, like, shook it, and they just went everywhere. And she just went into it. Oh, that was, I mean, it's so bittersweet, because I love Thorgy and could go on about her. But Chi-Chi, once I got over, when I was able to watch the lip sync again, once I was over the fact that Thorgy went home, and man, Chi-Chi just, like, that's what Latrice would call high drag. It was just high drag. I loved it.
Definitely high drag. Absolutely. She killed high drag. That
yeah.
Is. Yeah. And what did Thorgy, you'd probably know more specifically about it, but what did Thorgy say after her elimination about it? She said, she was talking about it, and she's like, I realized what the song was. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or should I educate you on this?
I don't think I know this.
So Thorgy, she did some interview where she said, she was like, I'm all ready to lip sync, and then, I'm going against Chi-Chi Devane, and then I find out that the song is And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going from Dreamgirls. And I could have swung from the rafters and done a million circus tricks, and I would not have won that lip sync.
Wow.
She's like, I'm going home. She knew she was going home.
Yeah.
Because of what the show is. And that's what she said. And I totally get that, right? Like, if I was in Thorgy's shoes, I'd be like, oh, okay. So this is Chi-Chi's story. This is produced.
Yeah.
I'm going home, and it sucks.
Yeah, I think I had heard something similar to that, where she was like, okay, I realize, okay, this is the episode, I'm going home. Okay. And I think she'd also talked about, I think Thorgy, she tells a lot of stories, but I feel like I've heard her say that, like, when she was filming her material, like, everybody was laughing, it was going really well, like, people were really into it. And then I think they kind of, like, edited only, like, they edited it to make her look like one of the worst ones. And I think that's just kind of like, well, this is, like, what more of the Thorgy story, when you think about it, did they have to tell,
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so that's one. The second one is a surprising one, but if you go back and watch it, I think you'll feel as epic as I did when I watched this one recently. It's from season 7, which is, scary. But it was between Jaden Dior Fierce and Candy Ho, and it was Ariana Grande's Break Free.
I love that lip sync.
And you know what? I didn't just love it for Jaden, because Jaden was, she was doing all of those moves and, like, the Dita Ritz type moves, and it was just like working, and she's this big girl, and she looked, like, really scary in her zombie outfit. And then you had Candy Ho, because I hope you had brought a sweet tooth, because Candy Ho's in the motherfucking house.
Come on, catchphrase.
And she, Ariana Grande, she like sung it like emotionally, like she lip sunk it emotionally, and she like kind of like was just so desperate, and I thought she did really, really well. Obviously Jaden had this like total sharpness to it, this really, it was very precise. And then Candy Ho had this just kind of messy, desperation that I actually loved. And you know, obviously it was Candy Ho's time to go.
Yeah. There was, I mean, yes. Similar to Thorgy, there was nothing she could have done. And I think that they, if you watch closely, you can tell that they had to edit out how good Candy did at that lip sync. Because she's a great lip syncer. She is, I mean, as much as she got a shitty edit on that show and just didn't really have much of an impact, she is a solid lip syncer. And you can tell there are certain moments where like, oh, she was turning it out.
Yeah.
Jaden was great. And I'm so happy she won because she just had that storyline. And I thought she did a great job. But I do think that there was at least some editing out of like Candy actually doing quite well.
Yeah, so go back and watch that. Candy is pretty great. And I have to say that lip syncing myself to Ariana Grande's Break Free is, it makes me feel like a better person. So
it's a great choice.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And then my final one, which might be sort of expected, but I think it's often forgotten. Thank you, sorry. Is between, drumroll please, Laganja Estranja and Jocelyn Fox, Stupid Girls.
Wow, I know what you're talking about. And I'm...
Did you forget about it?
No, they have that double split at the same time. Of course not.
Yes, and Laganja, she has that like purple tutu on. Ugh. And she has that ugly wig that she ends up taking off and has purple hair anyway. And Jocelyn has this like nude suit, but it's like, she looks like a deck of cards. She looks like a joker or a jester or something. Mm-hmm. All triangles, these glittery triangles. And she kills that song. And there's obviously that famous moment where they both did like a jump split at the same time. And even Laganja death drops one more time.
Yeah.
Death drops. And it was, and it's such a great song. It's kind of a funny song and an important song. But yeah, they just did great. And I think that lip sync is often looked over. It was a great moment.
Yeah. I think that lip sync gets the Jocelyn Fox treatment. It's like people forget, oh yeah, that was pretty good. Like she did better than I think people remember, you know?
Right. And it's also when Laganja went home, which was a good moment for us all.
Oh God. Thank you. Thank you, Jocelyn Fox, for your
props to your mama.
Yeah. Yeah. See ya. Yeah. There's a soundbite of hers that I need to find, and it's her talking about herself coming down the runway. And it's so out of nowhere. It's just like, it's clearly like a bite that they just took from somewhere and they just plopped it in. And it's like, as she's like rounding the corner, there's like the sound clip of Laganja saying, "Here comes mama." And it's so weird. It's so like, it's the way she says it. It's like, "Here comes mama." It's so like, it just sounds like a barn door swinging, you know? Like, it's just, it's so strange.
A barn door swinging. Now that's a new one. I love it.
Yeah. That's one of them. Here comes mama. That's one of my cringiest moments from Drag Race. Is that moment? But anyway, yes, I think that was a wonderful moment that Jocelyn sent her home, and that Jocelyn got to, you know, again, got to show off that she, you know, she did have questionable fashion sense at times, and you know, was kind of a ditz, but like, she was a sweet kid, and she did a great job of that lip sync, and she was great in the rap challenge.
And oh, yeah.
Even RuPaul gave her credit. I remember that, like, rewatching it, and Ru being like, "You really turned it out this episode. I'm proud of you." And I was like, "Yes, yes, you and me both."
Yeah, and I feel like she was so much more memorable in the challenges than Courtney Act. And meanwhile, like, Courtney was like, "Oh, you're a baby, Courtney Act."
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you look at that rap challenge, you compare Courtney to Jocelyn. Courtney was ridiculous. It was just so not good. And Jocelyn was great.
Right.
So.
Well, so those are my three truly terrific lip syncs.
They are truly terrific. And the nature of giving love to underappreciated queens and moments, we gave some much needed love to some underappreciated lip syncs.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, and some much needed criticisms of some not so good lip syncs.
Yeah.
So shape up and ship right, Sacha Bell.
Yeah, Sacha Bell. Jesus.
Yeah. Like, I would do any better, but my boob wouldn't fall out, you know? I mean, I'd still lose that lip sync for sure, but my boob wouldn't fall out.
Well, I just want to say that if any listeners want to tell us about their worst lip syncs that they know of that we might have missed or anything, you know, we'd happily mention it again later in the podcast. If you want to write us, we are at allrightmarypodcast@gmail.com. It's all one word, all lowercase, allrightmarypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to communicate with us and let us know some of your favorite lip syncs or least favorite lip syncs, that's totally fair.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's all we've got on the docket for today.
Yeah, we're just kind of, maybe we can mention briefly, we're going to just kind of do some features, just do some different topics until All Stars 2 starts up, where we'll just be talking about favorite episodes or, you know, best lip syncs or best looks or, you know, favorite quotes, or we'll even talk about what's the tea with RuPaul and Michelle Visage. So, you know, it'll just be little bits and little features like that until All Stars gets up and running, in which case we will review those episodes.
Yep. So stay tuned for next week. I think we're going to have, I would love to do a recap of a favorite episode, and we'll leave that as a surprise for what that'll be. But yeah, I think we should choose a particularly memorable episode and give it the recap. All right. Well, I think that's all for me.
All right, that's all for me. All right, Mary.
All right, Mary. So right, Mary. See you later.
All right, Mary.
All right, Mary.
All right, Mary. Mary.